All right, good evening. How are you all tonight? Good. One brave soul. And you probably know me. If you don't, I'm Scott Freeman, usually work with a middle school. But tonight we get the privilege of talking about the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments, probably your favorite. You may know what it is. Honor your mother and father. Yes, now, but if you have your read-through with you, and you look in the schedule calendar at the front of your read-through, you do have your read-throughs with you, right? All right, if you look, what does it say is the subject tonight? Yeah, I see somebody mouthing it. They don't even want to say it. What was that? Obey your parents. So, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. We put it in there as the title, Obey Your Parents. If you look in Exodus 20, which we'll get to in a couple minutes, it says honor your father and mother. We'll talk a little bit about the difference, because to just say obey your parents is really just a part of what this commandment entails. So Exodus 20 is the first place where we see the Ten Commandments written in Scripture. Where else do we find the Ten Commandments written in Scripture? Anybody know? Anybody dare make a guess? Oh, come on. There's got to be a brave soul here. Where else can you find the Ten Commandments? I'm going to have to go to a leader here pretty soon, guys. This is all right, Michael. Deuteronomy 5. So Exodus 20, the Israelites have come out of Egypt. It's early in the 40 years in the wilderness wanderings. So really, Exodus 20, the commandments are given to one generation. And in Deuteronomy 5, it's shortly before the nation of Israel goes into the land and overtakes the land. It's almost like repeating the Ten Commandments there for the sons and daughters of the people who heard it the first time. Almost 40 years between the two recordings. So if we talk about obey your parents, as we put in the as a title in the calendar, versus honor your father and mother, this one may be a little bit easier, but maybe you've blocked this out of your mind somehow. What scripture reference would you find obey your parents? Anybody? Oh, you have blocked it out of your mind, right? All right, we got something in Ephesians. That's right. Anybody want to narrow it down a little more? There's only six chapters in Ephesians, so Ephesians 6 and what verse? One. Very good. That's good work. Good teamwork. You got it. I know it's verses that we like to block out of our mind. So we're going to start by reading from Exodus 20. But before we really do that, let's pause for a minute and we'll pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that it is everything we need for life and godliness. And thank you for the opportunity to study through the Ten Commandments, to see these core commands, principles that you put in place. And except for the one regarding Sabbath, they're repeated in the New Testament, and there's clarity that we're still to obey these commands and build our obedience in our life on these. So help us to understand, the message you have for us from this tonight. And then help us not just to understand, but to be faithful to do, to strive to please you by being obedient, just as we're learning in 1 John in the read-through, that the evidence of our salvation would be our obedience to you. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. We're going to spend a little time talking about that. And one of the things I did for this week with the lesson is give you lots of fill in the blanks. I know it's a bad time of year. School's just getting started again. Probably fill in the blank, multiple choice, essay, all those things. You've had more than enough, but why not? We've got lots of fill in the blanks. But so when we're looking at this verse and it says, honor your father and mother, and we talked about that contrasted to children obey your parents, maybe a good question to start with is, what does honor your father and mother mean? When we talk about that word honor, What are we really talking about? And I'll give you a hint. Obedience is part of it, but obedience is far from all of it. It's very easy to obey on the outside, you know, and be protesting on the inside. So there's more to honoring our mother and our father or honoring anybody than just obeying a simple command. So we're going to look at some things. First of all, I thought it would be good to start with understanding that word honor. So the Hebrew word that is translated honor is kabad. And I don't know how they really pronounce it, but it's K-A-B-A-D. So to me, that sounds like kabad, and that works. And it's used in several ways in several passages in the Old Testament in Hebrew. And as I did some word study on this and used blueletterbible.org, it's a great tool to just look at this word and see where it shows up and look at definitions. There's several meanings that just kind of jumped out. First of all, it's used in some places in the Old Testament to mean or as a word heavy. Honor, kabad, is translated as heavy. It's also translated as weighty. This one was interesting. It's translated as grievous, also burdensome, hard, rich, and glorious. So there's a lot of different words that are used to translate this Hebrew word kabad. And at first, when I looked at all these words and the definitions, I kind of looked at it and said, okay, so how do we come up with honor? How do you pack all of these seven words into honor and apply it to how we treat our parents? And then I started looking at a few things. First of all, honor can be negative or positive. If you look at those words and you see where it says grievous or burdensome or hard, there's some negative connotation. So let's, if you've got your Bibles right there, turn back over to Genesis 18. I thought this was really interesting as I was looking at the word and how it was used. Genesis 18, verse 20. Genesis 18 is telling us the story about Sodom and Gomorrah, or we're getting there, or it's just before, but Exodus, Genesis 18:20. It's the Lord speaking. It says, "And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave." And it's that word grave that is kabad, that we see again in Exodus as honor. So grave or serious or grievous. The sin was just, you know, as we see in Exodus 19, when God sends angels, And then God announces to Abraham, you know, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And they go to Lot, and Lot is removed, and the cities are destroyed. Before that, this comment is made by God that the weight of their sin was kabad, was grievous. So that's a negative use of the word. And honor is also... It's a heart attitude. It's much more than obedience. And I want to look at a couple of verses so that we can see that. If we go to Isaiah chapter 29, I promise we won't spend the whole of our time bouncing around in the Old Testament. We are going to look at a few different passages. Isaiah chapter 29, we see this word used. As soon as I find Isaiah 29, I can read it. Isaiah 29, verses 13 and 14. And I'm going to read both verses. Follow along. "Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me," and there's our word, "and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of the wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed." So kind of remember and think about those two verses, because I want to show you something. But go back first, in the beginning, the first part of verse 13. "These people draw near to me with their words and honor me with their lip service," or their lips, "but they remove their hearts far from me." So what Isaiah is really saying, and he's saying it about the Israelites, their worship isn't from the heart. They go through the motion. They say the right words. They show up at the temple and they offer their sacrifices. but it's just words. There's no content. There's nothing from the heart. Both of those verses, and the reason I read verse 14, is both of them get quoted in the New Testament. So if you bounce over to Matthew, we're going to see verse 13 gets quoted by the Lord. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. So I'm going to start and I'll read verse 7 because then you'll kind of see how this ties in. It's Jesus and he's speaking to Jewish religious leaders and he says, "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you." Then verse 8, this is our quote. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." So when Jesus quotes from Isaiah 29, verses 8 and 9 are that quote. And he basically repeats the concept that they're honoring with their lips, which is not honor at all, is the implication, because their heart is far from me. And then the other part of that that I thought was interesting is if you go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, the second verse from Isaiah 29:14 gets quoted. 1 Corinthians 1:19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." And I thought kind of the point here, if we want to think about, well, why did this get quoted? Why was this talked about in terms of honor? Is that, one, God looks at it and says, if your worship is fake, it's not going to stand up. There's going to be accountability for that. The fake wisdom of those who think they're wise is going to be destroyed before God. If our honor doesn't come from our heart, then it's not honor at all. And that's really the point of those verses, and that's one of the aspects of honor your father and mother that we want to look at. It can't just be, you know, and I don't know if you ever saw these, but the little cartoons where, you know, the little boy stand in the corner pouting because, you know, he's having a timeout or something, and the caption, you know, says, "I may be, you know, in the corner or sitting in the chair on the outside, but on the inside, you know, I'm still playing and doing whatever I want." We can do that as teens, as adults. It's not just a toddler thing to have that attitude on the inside that's rebellious and dishonoring. It goes through the motions on the outside. So, honor, the word can be negative, positive. It's a hard attitude. It also, the phrase, "don't take this lightly," implies honor. This one came from our read through a while ago, 1 Samuel chapter 2. When we looked at the definitions of the word, and it was heavy, it was weighty. 1 Samuel chapter 2, I really like the way the word picture here in relation to honor. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed." So we've got the usage of this word in the Old Testament that implies, you know, honor or has this weightiness to it, this solidity to it, but despising or dishonor is taking something lightly. And that's really where that phrase that still exists today, you know, maybe somebody said to you, "Hey, this test, you know, next week is important. Don't take it lightly. You know, it matters. It needs to be honored. It needs to be respected." And that phrase really ties back into the picture of this word of something being honor. It has this heaviness and seriousness or mass to it. So don't take this lightly. Now, the other thing I noticed is that honor can be a noun and a verb. And I thought that would be good for us to know as we're really trying to understand the word honor and how it's used in relationship to our parents. So I found an example in the book of Daniel where in one chapter we have honor as a noun. So if you look at Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, we're going to see, and I think I gave it away, For the middle school, I made sure they could tell which one was a noun and a verb, but you guys have that, right? All right, Daniel chapter 2, it's a noun. Verse 6 of Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar speaking, "But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation." So here Nebuchadnezzar is saying, whoever can declare this dream that I had, tell me what I had for a dream and tell me what it means, I will give you honor as a noun. Then if you turn over just a few chapters, a couple chapters to chapter 4 of Daniel, verse 37. 4 verse 37, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking again, and he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways are just, and he's able to humble those who walk in pride." So first usage, it's a noun, and then it's a verb. So honoring our parents, or if we honor our parents, that's an action. But to give honor to our parents is used as a noun. Same root, same word, different application, and helps us to kind of understand the breadth of what this word means. So let's continue on. I want to look at four aspects of honor. Now, this is not exhaustive. I'm sure there's more aspects of honor than the four that I came up with. But number one is obedience. And obedience, I love how the dictionaries do this for us. They take a word that we kind of understand and then define it with words that are bigger and less common. So obedience was defined, when I looked it up in a dictionary, as compliance with a command. Instead of just saying, hey, obey, you know, obedience, obey. You get it? But Ephesians 6:1, we talked about that. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a good example of obedience for us to follow. I thought there was another interesting example, and I picked this one because it ties into the Sabbath and the command of the Sabbath that we covered a couple weeks ago. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 of Isaiah 58 says, "If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day." So Isaiah is talking, or really speaking for the Lord. And he says, okay, it's the Sabbath, the day that I've commanded you in the Old Testament to rest, to focus, worship, change your actions. Work 6 days, rest on the Sabbath. "So if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So here, God's promising, if you will honor me by obedience to the Sabbath. And when God had the Israelites carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, how many years were they gone? How many years was the captivity? Anybody remember that? I heard it. 70? Did somebody say 70? 70 is right. The Israelites had disobeyed the Sabbath command for approximately or about 490 years. So really what God was saying is, because you didn't obey the Sabbath and keep the Sabbath, and there's some different aspects of it, they actually were supposed to give their land a year's rest every 7 years, plant in this field for 6 years and give it a seventh year rest. Those things weren't happening. So 70 years of Sabbath rest came to the land when the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon. That really doesn't fit in with honoring your father and mother, but anyways, a little extra. Second aspect of honor. First of all is obedience. Second is respect or fear and reverence. And if you're still in Isaiah, Isaiah 5 uses the word in this way. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. And it says, "Therefore, my people, go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst. So how do we get respect or fear or reverence out of that? Well, what I want you to see, or what I saw there, is that when Isaiah is talking about God's people going into exile for their lack of knowledge, their honorable men, those who would be respected, reverenced, those men are parched with thirst, are famished, and a multitude is parched with thirst. Because of the sin of the land, even the honorable men are affected by the sin of the land. So that just kind of illustrates the aspect of reverence. Malachi 1:6, rather than turning there, I'll just read it. A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? So what was happening even there, the priests in the time of Malachi were not honoring. It's not just the people weren't honoring God by obedience and sacrifice and worship at the temple. Even the priests were, their heart was far from God. They weren't honoring. They would rather honor a person. A son honoring his father, a servant his master, that would be normal and customary, but they wouldn't honor God. So two aspects so far of honor, obedience, respect, and service. I put this as service. I wanted to put it as care at first, but I thought it might be confusing. So service defined as to serve or care for. We honor God and we can serve God, but I think we can't say we can care for God. When it comes to our parents, as we honor our parents, we can serve them and we can care for them. You know, maybe when they get older, some of us have, or some of you will, have to do things to care for your parents. And there's a great example of this. There's a few great examples, but 1 Samuel chapter 2:29. Again, I want to look at one in the Old Testament, and then we'll look at one in the New Testament. 1 Samuel 2, verse 29, as soon as I find it. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel? So the question God asks is, why are you honoring your sons and keeping what's best for yourself, and in sacrificing what is second quality to God? That's not honoring to God. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 15, there's a passage where Jesus talks about honoring parents. Matthew 15, verses 4 through 6. For God said, this is Jesus is talking. I'll read from the beginning of that chapter. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands before they eat bread? You know, they're just trying to catch him in something. And he answered and said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? And then here's the example he uses to illustrate when he asked them a question. Verse 4, for God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. Verse 5, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that I would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother, and by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. So, let me help you understand that a little bit maybe. There was a custom in that time where, well, there wasn't Social Security, there wasn't a lot of support systems for elderly parents, and it was expected that the children would care for their parents. As they aged, there were adult people who said, oh, I can't take care of my parents, I don't have the financial resources. Everything I have, I've dedicated to God. It's committed to God, to His work, and I can't use those resources to take care of my parents. Meanwhile, they're living off those resources, and at some point they would pull that dedicated gift back from God and use it. But it was basically a way for them to dishonor their parents by not taking care of their parents. They weren't serving their parents, and Jesus called them out on that. But it gives us a good illustration in the area of honor, honor involves service. It involves care. It involves if we honor something, we're going to treat it as a value. If it's fragile, we're going to protect it. If it has needs, we're going to meet those needs to the best of our ability. And that's part of the aspect of service. And then one more aspect of honor I want us to look at is submission. To look up to or to place ourselves under. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house." And the idea here is that submission, just like the Bible teaches us to submit ourselves to Christ and obey the commands of Christ in Scripture, it also commands us to honor and submit ourselves to our parents. So part of this concept of honoring our parents is being willing to submit ourselves under their authority. So those are four aspects of honor. And I thought, here's a good question maybe we should ask and answer. Why should I honor my father and mother? Or, and actually, I missed one. I didn't put it on the slide there. There's one before that that I really wanted to ask. Wasn't there, was it? No. What if I don't have godly parents? What if I do not have godly parents? And if you look at your notes, there is a spot for that number three. What if I do not have godly parents? Ephesians 6, 5 and 9. So we quoted and said Ephesians 6, 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." If we look a little later in Ephesians, the next couple verses, that chapter, Paul is talking to the Ephesian believers about how to treat people. Talking about interpersonal relationships. And as believers in Christ, how they're supposed to be acting. And children to parents and parents to children are discussed. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, it says in verse 4, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now when we get to verses 5 to 9 of chapter 6, it's talking about slaves and masters. Or today we might look at that in terms of employees and employers. But if we look at this, there's a principle here that I think we can apply to this question of what if I don't have godly parents. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render services to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good things each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. So, but what I want us to see is Paul's going through this. How do we deal with other people? In verse 7, with goodwill, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord. And the concept is any honor, any obedience that we have towards our parents is not looking at it saying, well, do they deserve to be honored? But that God deserves to be honored and he's commanded us to do that. In fact, I thought it was interesting. I read in prepping for this that today most Christian theologians, or if you're studying through the Ten Commandments, you really focus the first four that we've covered before tonight in our vertical relationship to God. You know, I'll have no other gods before me. Don't have a graven image. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. The Jewish theologians, I guess you call it, looked at it a little differently. They included this fifth commandment about honor your father and mother and really equated that with that vertical relationship to God. Then when we get to commands 6 through 10, don't lie, don't murder, don't steal, don't be envious, and I'm missing one, adultery, and not those aren't in order, but those are all more person-to-person, horizontal level in our relationships. So I thought that was interesting that the Jews, as they looked at this, included the fifth command more in that vertical aspect. You know, honor ultimately comes from God. God puts any authorities over us, whether it's parents, whether it's governments. You know, think of Daniel in Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar as the ruler, the king of Babylon. At least for the first couple chapters, this guy was pretty stuck on himself, very ungodly, and yet Daniel managed to live and work and be part of the government and have a great testimony throughout his entire life. He honored, he gave honor where honor was due. He was obedient where he needed to be obedient. And that's really the concept that we need to understand here, is that we may have parents that are not living a godly example or not instructing us in the way that, or your friends may, but we still need to honor them. All right. Why should I honor my parents? And it's pretty simple. We've kind of covered this to some degree, because God commands it. Ephesians 6, 1, we've talked about. It's pretty straightforward there. And I want to go to Romans 13 for a minute. Romans 13, 7, because it kind of ties in with the last point as well. Romans 13, 7 is where we get the understanding, render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to who custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. And the idea is that if it's a government, and the first part of Romans 13 is some practical exhortations about government, about authority, about different relationships. And Paul here says, give each person what they're due. Render to all what is due them. In other words, if you owe tax, pay it. You know, Jesus used that example where he had the coin and said, whose image is on the coin? It's Caesar's. It belongs to Caesar. If he wants it as tax, pay it. And then fear to whom fear, or respect, and then honor to whom honor is due. So God commands us to honor our parents. To dishonor the authority God has placed in our lives is to dishonor God. If we choose not to honor our parents, then we're choosing to dishonor God. I'm going to go for one more passage here from our read through in 2 Kings. And I remember reading through this and kind of laughing a little bit. But 2 Kings chapter 2, it's really not a funny story, but it's interesting. Chapter 2, verse 23 of 2 Kings. Then he went up from there, and this is Elisha, the prophet Elisha. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going by the way, young lads came out from the city and mocked him and said to him. So let me stop, paint the picture. Elisha had recently watched Elijah get transported up into heaven. Elisha's kind of taken over the role as the prophet. And as he's on his way up to Bethel, these young lads, and the notes in the study Bible basically say it's not like, you know, 5-year-old young lads. It's, you know, 18 to 20-year-old. It's young men who really have no job and are troublemakers. And they say to Elisha, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. And they're mocking him. So it's not sure, one, if go up is, you know, oh, go do what Elijah did. You know, just go up. Go to heaven. We don't want to see you. And then they're calling him bald head, which would have been an embarrassment in that culture to either be bald or a shaved head, which we're not sure why. But I particularly like this verse because I have a son in middle school who loves to tease me about my growing bald spot. So I got to pick on him a little bit. But and I laughed at it when we went through it in a read-through. But go up, bald head. Go up, you bald head. When he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Now, it's not like he cursed at them, but what he really said, and if you read the notes, it's explained this way. He really said, God, deal with them how you see fit. Then we get to the next verse, which actually in my Bible is the next page. And it says, then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number. And then from there, Elisha went to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. What I thought was interesting is here's these large group of lads mocking the prophet. Now, this is not an everyday occurrence. This isn't, you know, like if you dishonor somebody in the way that they did, God's going to send bears out to maul you and, you know, leave you in pain on the side of the road. But I just, you know, I thought this is interesting. We don't think sometimes about some of these Bible stories that here's 42 young men who are being disrespectful, dishonoring, and it's the prophet. You know, how do we equate that to today, whether it's a pastor or some leader in Christianity that's highly respected, and they're just, they are, you know, they don't care. They don't care, and they're dishonoring, and for our benefit, God chooses to let them suffer physical pain to highlight the fact that their dishonoring displeases God. But God pronounces a blessing for those who do honor their parents. If we go back to Exodus 20, go back to our original verse there. Honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. If you go to Ephesians 6, it talks about honor, obey your parents. And I won't quote it well, but this is the first command with a promise. And the idea was that the first five commands, the first four commands before this, there's not a promise that's written into the command. You're just told to do it. This is the first one going through there where there's a blessing pronounced by God for honoring your parents. Which kind of brings up the question. I think it's on here. No. It brings up that question. Does this blessing guarantee long life if I honor my parents? Can we say that? Can we say, well, if I honor my parents, then, you know, God's committed to me long life. It's there. I read it. Exodus 20, verse 12, that your days may be long in the land. Two things we have to remember. First of all, we need to ask ourselves that question, how pure is our honor to our parents? Can any one of us say, I have never dishonored my parents? I'm going to guess not. I can't say that. Far from that. But also, if we if we look at the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of principles in the book of Proverbs. And some of them match this. Proverbs chapter 10 was one I saw that really I thought fit with this subject. And Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So that's a proverb. It doesn't always work that way. I actually found out just the other day that, some of you may know I like to water ski. There's probably the world's greatest water skier was also an outspoken Christian. But God took him home at the age of 52 on Saturday. You know, a young man with a family. And now he's in heaven. Does that mean that this verse isn't true? Does that mean that because people who love the Lord and would choose to honor him die at a young age or prematurely, that God's word isn't true? No, we need to remember, one, it's a principle. It's not, this is a guarantee it's going to happen. God is not like a formula. If we do this, he's guaranteed that. But there is that principle. If you want to live a pleasant life, you know, there's another place in the New Testament where it commands us to live peaceably within the rule of the government so that, you know, so that we can be effective in our ministry, effective in our lives. And then Proverbs, in Psalm 73, I'm not going to go there, but Psalm 73, the psalmist starts out and he looks at this paradox, this problem. He understands this command of, you know, God pronounces a blessing for those who honor their parents, but yet he looks around and sees that the wicked are prospering. So for 16 verses or so of Psalm 73, the psalmist is really in despair. He says, I look at the wicked, they prosper. They cheat, they lie, they steal, and they're rich. They have wealth, they have good health. I see God's people, I see myself, and there's suffering and things that we don't have. How can this be? And he's really distraught about it. And then I think verse 17 is really the key, because verse 17 is where he says, but then I came to the house of the Lord. I came to the presence of the Lord and I understood their future. I understood that at best, their 80 years on earth of riches, wealth, and getting away with whatever evil they're doing, judgment comes. And then he looked at, you know, his future and said, at the end of whatever this life is, I'm with the Lord. And it completely changed his perspective. Instead of looking at it saying, what am I getting today and how come this guy can do evil and be wicked and he seems to be blessed and everything's great and I'm honoring my parents and trying to do what's right and honoring you, God, and nothing is going right. Even in the midst of that, he looked at it and said, but then I considered their end. For those that don't know the Lord, I know where they'll be, and I don't want that for them. I want to see them repent. Sorry. Wait a minute. That works better. There. I want to see them repent. It's not that I want to see the wicked suffer in hell, but we know that that's the fate of everybody who doesn't trust in Christ. And that perspective allowed him to look at it and say, you know, I think it's fair to say he looked at it then and had pity for those who didn't honor the Lord, whose only hope of joy was trying to cheat the system now. So God pronounces a blessing for those who honor their parents. It's not a guarantee. It's not a formula. It doesn't mean if we honor our parents, you know, sometimes we're going to get whatever we want. But it is a principle that God has in Scripture. So application. I just want to ask us a couple questions. First of all, how well am I doing at honoring my parents? And hopefully after our discussion for the last several minutes, you're not thinking of honoring your parents as just, yep, they told me to clean my room and I did that. Kind of, you know, I pushed the clothes under the bed or threw them in the closet. They're out of sight. I obeyed. But honoring our parents involves a whole lot more than just tacit obedience. So how well am I doing at honoring my parents? What do I need to stop doing? And I was good at, I grew up in a Christian home, and as a teenager was pretty good at appearing to obey in front of my parents. But the reality was there were way too many times when I was living like those Pharisees that Jesus called out and said, okay, or in the Old Testament, the Israelites that were called out, your lips, they're saying the right thing, but your heart is far from me. All of us have the capability to do that. So what are some of the things we need to stop doing? And we each can look at that and answer that question. And what do we need to start doing? What are the things that we need to do, we know we should be doing to honor our parents that we're not doing? For each of us, it might be a little different answer to those questions, but all of us at all stages of life can continue to learn about honor. My parents are both with the Lord now, and so it's hard to honor them in a direct face-to-face way. But there's also a lot of other people that God's commanded me to honor, and I need to do that and be faithful to do that. And it's not easy, but it is God's command to us, and we need to work at that every day. And there are things that we should stop doing and things we should start doing so that we can honor our parents in the way the Bible's prescribed for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this command. Thank you for the concept of honor. And first and foremost, we need to honor you in our lives, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words. And we need to honor those who you have put in authority over us. And that includes our parents. That includes teachers at school. It includes bosses. It includes government. And it needs to be from our heart. Can't just be outward obedience, or it really isn't honor at all. So help us to be faithful to apply what your word teaches us. In your name we pray. Amen.